Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle of the Bloodlines or Hap Up podcast for episode 8. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you?
I am doing amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing. Do you believe it?
No, normally you're a little downtrodden going into episodes. This is a great start.
Clearly, you're again showing that you don't listen to episodes. So I'm not downtrodden until we get going, usually. No, I'm kidding. So one thing I do want, I have a couple disclaimers.
Go for it.
Are you sure?
I mean, maybe not, but.
Think about it.
Okay. There we go. Cereal. All right.
Oh, no. Sorry. That wasn't. Yes. Good joke, Allie.
Now I have no idea where you're going with this. So.
That was just me. I wasn't parodying anything. I was just being my true authentic self. If you hear anything in the background while you guys are listening to this that sounds like Jewish women arguing over a Mahjong game, you're imagining things. You need to call Verizon and get that taken care of, because that's definitely not on my end. And then two, we got a lot of amazing questions this week. I actually had like a really spiritual, amazing experience because I come back on Thursday nights from work. I eat dinner. I read your questions. It's like we're eating dinner together. I love going through it. But I can't guarantee I'm going to pull it from Twitter, because now that The Bachelor's happening and the Republican debate is going on right now, there's a lot to tweet about. So it's not as easy to pull. So you can always go. Brian tweets at the link at around noon 30.
Yes.
You can go to Facebook. Rob has a podcast on Facebook, and put him there. So if I missed your question on Twitter, I'm sorry. Thank you to everyone who put them on Facebook. And thank you especially to KC5954 for leaving a 5-star review. Brian, hit him with the link.
Rob, the Facebook link?
Come on, you got to have that queued up. Facebook? Hit him with the link.
Facebook.
No. For iTunes review, we got a 5-star review.
Robswebsite.com/channelsitunes.
So thank you, Casey. And thank Woo-hoo. You to everyone who will, past, present, and future, write us a 5-star review. We love you. It's great.
Definitely leave questions on Facebook, because whenever I see questions tweeted to me, I'm always inclined to answer them. And I don't know if people wanted me to answer them like right then, or if they were for the podcast, so just leave them on Facebook.
I love the tweets, though. So sometimes I have gone through the questions and I can't pull them, and I want to tweet back like, Brian, respond to this on Twitter, because it's a good question, but I'm not pulling it.
Dance, monkey, dance.
No. I meant like to let you know.
Okay.
Let you out of the cage. I don't know. I went with your thing and it felt weird.
We're already off to a great start.
I'm feeling amazing, as I said before. I'm going to start with a question from Anna Jose, who left it on Facebook. Were you surprised that there was no Kara and Abram follow-up after last week?
A little bit, but then I kind of remember what show I'm watching, and they usually don't do that type of stuff. So I was not that surprised.
I was thrilled. Controversial opinion, I loved this episode. I think it was the best episode of the season.
That's definitely a controversial opinion, because last week was definitely the best episode of the season.
This was like what I come to the TV for. I'm happy to see people like, you know, bleed out their emotions and their relationship issues. But when I'm coming to the challenge, I want to see strategy, creating drama, like old school returners. Like, I don't know, everything. It was feel good. It was funny. It was depressing. Like, it just, everything was there.
All the feels.
First and foremost, I loved that I didn't see 1 ounce of footage about Kara and Abe.
I can't believe you were just completely over that.
Yeah, I think I even said this last week, or I said it to myself in my head. I was just like, oh, now we're going to see this for like the next 3 weeks. Like, they're just going to beat this to death. And so I love that they just like, I keep saying set it and forget it on the podcast, right. But I just love that they like put it out there and then that's it. I'm sure they'll come back to it, but I was happy to get a break. You wanted to see more?
Well, a little bit, but I'm not really that surprised, because I think if Thomas and Steven were still there, it still would have been there. But because they got eliminated, like, well, I guess really what else was there to happen?
That's a great point.
So actually looking back, it's probably not surprising that kind of ended.
So I'm doubly not upset to see Thomas and Steven go home.
Now, are you not upset that Kellyanne is going on. I don't know where I was going with that comment. I was kind of like channeling Kellyanne when she starts talking, and then it leads so many different directions.
I appreciated it, and I want you to not judge yourself and just let it go.
I was trying for an awesome transition, and then like I was in the middle of the transition. I'm like, I have no idea what I'm transitioning to.
Oh, I wish this was a video podcast because my face is expressing pure joy. But we do start with Kellyanne. And right. Bananas. Did you think this was like patronizing of Bananas, or am I just like getting a little too, you know, hostile?
Patronizing, but I don't really know what they were disagreeing about. It seemed like they were on the same page throughout the whole thing. Like, she agreed that they're going to throw it. Did they not agree, like, who would be thrown in? Like, that seemed pretty inconsequential.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought in the beginning when he's like saying like, oh, you're throwing off this, like he puts her down and then is like, no, I'm going to help you. But overall, I thought this was a good plan by Bananas.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, it was smart for Anthony. It was smart for Kellyanne. I mean, it was smart for everyone involved to do it.
The only not smart thing was not pulling it off, but we'll get to that. Right. Another transition too soon.
But at least your transition had a purpose, so you got that going for you.
I felt some feelings behind your transition. It was just raw emotion. So
it was emphatic, but something that I got the effort. I just need the execution.
One thing that's pretty funny is they're talking about, all right, we're definitely sending in Kara when we throw this challenge. Now, who do we want to go home? Rihanna, right? Or Brianna? I loved this, how like, all right, we're going to throw in Kara. She's going to automatically win. So who are we sending home?
And I was I loved Anthony's giving her the pros and cons list, where it was just a pro. And it was just stating a fact. It was like, pro Anissa goes home, or pro Jenna goes home. It's like, are those pros, or are those just statements?
Well, Anthony is a funny fellow. One thing,
that's the best compliment he's had.
I mean, that in the most offensive way. So with this, so there's becomes a big debate, right, between Kellyanne and Bananas, as much as Kellyanne is able to debate Bananas, between her trying to advocate that Rihanna going in to send Anissa home would be political thinking, not emotional thinking. My reaction to this was, Bananas and Kellyanne are doing the same thing. They're acting in their own self-interest. So for Bananas to like get all bent out of shape towards Kellyanne wanting to get rid of Anissa, Bananas only wants to keep Anissa because she's on his side, and Kellyanne only wants to get rid of her because she thinks she's not. So I don't know why he was giving her such a hard time.
Because she's not just agreeing with him like Anthony is. He's not just making it super easy for him.
Such like a docile little lemur.
What is a lemur?
The animal?
Is that a dog?
Zoology 101. I'm going to let that go.
I'm by no means a zoologist.
All right. We're going to get back to it. We're going to keep talking. I'm going to Google lemur and make sure I didn't make myself sound like an asshole.
I mean, you're probably right. I just have never heard of a lemur.
Yeah. Okay. A lemur is like it looks like a meerkat, kind of, maybe part sloth, part meerkat. And it kind of reminds me of Anthony, but we'll move swiftly on. Okay. So Kellyanne readily admits that Anthony is just a Bananas pawn.
Right.
Should she have done something different in this situation?
No, because this was in her best interest. This was more in Kellyanne and Anthony's best interest than it was for Bananas. I mean, it's saving them.
Right, but in a way, like, Anthony is... I said last week that Vince was Bananas' last resort, last ally.
Mm-hmm.
But Anthony, I guess, is hanging on by a thread as his last standing ally. So it's mutually beneficial.
It's definitely mutually beneficial, but this isn't one of those like Bananas just strictly manipulating someone just for his benefit, and it's taking like the other person that's not gaining anything. Like, this is definitely a mutually beneficial relationship.
I agree, definitely. Okay, so do we have anything before we get to the challenge?
No. The only thing is, I find it weird. I mean, I guess I don't hang around a lot of my cousins that much, but Carl always calls her cousin cuz. And it feels really forced. Like, she knows, like, his bloodline, so she has to, like, emphasize the cuz part.
That's amazing. I don't notice that, but now I feel like you just, like, How I Met Your Mother shattered the mirror.
Like, I don't think she's called him Jamie the entire time. It's always been cuz.
I will look into that for next week.
And it reminds me of Rocket Power.
Wiggity wiggity. All right. Yep. So we get to the challenge, which was emotional and amazing. Allison Smith wants to know, first and foremost, so TJ makes an opening statement about Knight and about Diem, and then welcomes in Diem's sister Faith and CT, Diem's on again, off again great friend. Allison Smith wants to know, where was Knight's bloodline? I think it was great to bring in CT and Faith, but thought it was odd that they talked about Knight and Diem, but only brought in people for Diem.
It makes me wonder, maybe Jemmy was asked, and maybe she like turned it down. I don't know. It is a little weird that if they weren't going to mention Knight, like that's one thing, but they mentioned him and then didn't do anything about it. So that was kind of weird.
Oh, I'm so trying to tell myself to let it go that you almost said specifically.
I know. I stopped myself. I've already said enough stupid things. I had to like stop myself halfway through the word. I'm like, this is not being pronounced right.
We're like 5 minutes into this podcast and things are going to go off the rails. So it's fine. I was like, don't. Nope. Oh, I'm saying it. MTV has always treated Knight and Diem's passing very differently. And I don't know if that's a result of Knight's family's request, Jemmy's request, their relationship with Knight, their attitude about Knight's addiction versus Diem's cancer. It's just a lot to unpack and a lot to understand from someone else's point of view that we just don't have access to. I mean, who knows if Knight's family didn't want him to have a TV special. You know what I mean? We don't, we just don't know. So I think it was nice that they included both of them, but as has happened with MTV over the past year, it really was the Diem story as opposed to the Diem and Knight story.
Right. I mean, with all due respect to Knight, like, I mean, Diem is just a far more public figure in terms of the challenging, everything she's went through and all of that stuff. So it makes it, I mean, if you think it makes more sense that she would be more the focus.
Yeah. So it's so funny because when CT and Faith came in, I like sobbed throughout this whole thing. And it's weird because I've seen them walking in right in the previews 100 times as we all have.
Right.
But, I try to make myself like, you know, seem soulless on the podcast and like have no general vulnerabilities or feelings. But something I've never really discussed is like while DM season was airing, her final season on the challenge, you know this, Brian, but like my dad was battling cancer and he ultimately passed away like while during that season. And for me, DM was like, I read her articles like when she was talking about different treatments she was going through and like as crazy as it sounds for like someone on TV to be someone that you connect with, like I really connected to her story. And so when she passed away kind of shortly before my dad did, I felt like an additional heartache, nothing close to obviously what the people actually know her felt. And so seeing CT and Faith walk in, I just like absolutely lost it. Cause for me, and I'm sure a ton of people, you as well, like Diem represents like so much strength and courage. It was like such a tragedy when she passed away that to revisit it was like, I don't know. It was just like so fresh.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, absolutely. And the thing about Diem is like, she was just like a great person, but she was almost exemplified because she was surrounded by a bunch of like lowlifes that are around on this show. So when you see her on it, it's right, like, Jamie. Oh my God. Yeah, you're right. So you see her on it, it's like, oh my God, this is actually like one of the great people. And it's, you know, surrounded by some people who are smashing, like doing all these crazy things. It's like, oh, and she's the one who gets this stuff. And it's like, that's what sucks about it.
One of the patrons brought up in Rob's patron group was that like Knight was kind of portrayed as a villain, but everyone talks about him being so sweet. Whereas like Diem was like straight up on the show portrayed as like the world's greatest person. Not that I think they're trying to like keep Knight's villainhood alive, right. But Diem was just like exemplary in terms of not comparing them, but just compared to everyone who's been on the show, like you're saying. But the other thing is like, I so connected to just like Faith's desire. And I'm sure CT's desire to just like experience something Diem loves so much. Like, you don't keep coming out to these challenges when you're going through rounds of chemo or, you know, self-conscious about having lost your hair if you don't really love the people and the experience and the opportunity to get your story out there. Mm-hmm. So just, I mean, for the fact that MTV gave Faith this opportunity, she took this opportunity, was just like a really emotional thing. Cause like, I'm sure she just has this desire to connect and do what Diem loves. So I don't know. I really, really enjoyed this moment. And I hope we don't argue over crying points over Diem. Those are not the crying points you want.
I mean, we'll get to that later. I didn't know what to do with that, but we'll get to that later. But let's just focus on this moment at hand.
No. I mean, I feel like I...
Right.
I said how I feel, genuinely.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I thought it was, like, I know people were probably a little disappointed that they weren't, like, actually competing, but I had no problem with them just demoing the challenge. And you couldn't have, like, this was perfect that they did this challenge. This was, like, Diem's most famous one and everything. So I had no problem with anything that they did.
Oh, my God. It was so sweet to watch. Because we've seen this side of CT with Diem, but, like, to purely see CT in his, like, protector caregiver mm-hmm. mode when there's nothing else on the line was awesome. I agree with you. So Tyler Sloan wants to know, we love watching the drama on the show, but how refreshing was it to see C as relaxed and gentle as we've ever seen him? And then just jumping ahead, the question continues, having a bro hug with Abe and him and Johnny having a friendly conversation, it's good to see the other side of these people who come off as crazy lunatics sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, like, these two, like, but just talking specifically about Bananas and CC, like, they've been, like, known each other for so many years. They've done so many battles together. It's like two long time, like, war veterans at the end of the day, just like, all right, we've done this all together, but now we're like friends. Like, we respect each other.
Were you, so CT and Faith do this little cute, like, coordinated, choreographed speech about giving your all in the challenge.
Right.
I'm not going to say that I blame the people who threw the challenge at all, because the game is still the game, but did it make it harder to watch that CT had said, like, I hope you give your all like Diem did?
A little bit. And it's like I'm a big karma believer, like, of like those type of things. And for me, like, this is the perfect example of karma. Like, you throw the challenge and then that team ends up not working out and the people involved in it, they go home. And it makes me feel like Bananas is going home next week, all like because of karma.
Okay. I think Bananas has been pretty... like a dead man walking throughout the past few weeks. I totally get what you're saying, that it was just bad juju. But I just think in general, it shouldn't be like villainized for being strategic here. Like, I actually think it was a great move for the parties involved. And I just think they did a half measure. Like, they should have pulled it off. But it did taint it a bit that CT made, and they aired CT making a mm-hmm. speech about doing it for Diem. And then Bananas, who's like very, very close to Diem, is going to throw this challenge. But I'm not gonna tell him, give him karma negative points for this. I control karma. I don't know if you knew that.
I got it.
All right, so let's get into the challenge then. So the blue team is up first. And we Mitch is just hanging like an absolute fool.
Right. And I love Mitch's comments, like, you know, this is not as easy as people might think it is. Like, no, Mitch, we knew this was gonna be hard and we knew you were gonna fail.
Which, though, like, who was the person on the red team who was like, this challenge is so... Oh, Abe was like, this couldn't be easier.
It's like, he said that I could do this blindfolded and I wouldn't break a sweat. I don't know what blindfolded would add to the difficulty. You're just going like in a straight line.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, that was your mistake to try to relate to what Abe is saying.
Right, I know. Just absorb the words and just move on.
One thing I want to point out here is, like, I can't believe what idiots Jamie and Bananas both are for referring to people falling as DQing, even though MTV didn't refer to it as DQing. Like, they're mm-hmm. really the dumbest shits out there.
Why?
I'm making fun of you directly.
Okay. Sometimes I can't tell.
I'm pretty much always there on the side of me directly making fun of you.
Because they did not DQ, they eliminated. Specifically said eliminated.
Right, and it said eliminated. I'm just right. saying Jamie okay. and Bananas are such right. idiots because they referred to them as DQing.
But that's right. But didn't Bananas say someone killed it last week? So he's trying to, like, get his own little points in there. It's not working.
All I'm saying is, how thick does Bananas have to be to mistakenly understand someone falling off and being disqualified as DQing, even though the MTV producers label it eliminated? Right. He's such an idiot, and I want you to say that.
He's such an idiot. These guys are so dumb.
Okay, so that was just some vindication for me personally. And did you, when Brianna says, like, talking shit about Vince, so Vince drops mm-hmm. I jumped the gun because I just really wanted to talk about what right. an idiot they are. Idiots there. So Vince drops Mitch DQs, but like nobody's mad about that. Vince DQs, and we get 1,000 questions about it. And Brianna has a question, are his muscles even real? And I immediately thought of SpongeBob SquarePants trying to get into the salty spittoon. I'm just picturing Vince like every night, like trying to blow up his arms, which aren't that muscular.
That's really funny. Yeah.
What do you make of Vince?
He sucks. He's not good. Like he's the exact guy that you see at the gym just like lifting weights, but then he tries to do anything athletic and he just falls on his ass.
You imply that I go to the gym to see these guys that you speak of at the gym.
He's the person you see a video of at the gym and then he falls on his face.
Oh, you know what? Because I YouTube gym all the time to make it feel like I'm there.
Gotta watch the combine scouting.
So one thing that's interesting is CT actually DQ'd, fell from this challenge. And
I love TJ's cackle at him.
And literally TJ says like faith is what to do and TJ and CT is what not to do. And then still some of these thick guys try to do the Tarzan swinging, like not using their legs on the cargo net. Like, doesn't anyone watch American Ninja Warrior?
This is exactly what Vince did last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Like, he doesn't learn. That's why he's a buffoon.
All right. So Jennifer O'Hara wants to know, are the men of this season the most out of shape of any challenge?
I'll say this. Abe was rocking a bit of a dad bod on that, on these challenges I've seen.
It's all about performance.
I mean, he kills it, but doesn't look to be that in great a shape.
Rate him 1 to 10. I'm just kidding. Tell me more about how you feel towards him physically.
Abe, everything you do is great. Please don't attack me.
I mean, none of them are like Big Easy level, so we can't like...
No one's going to collapse and need an ambulance to take him out during a final. At least maybe not. I mean, Zach needed one, so who knows?
I was just going to say, like, it's also not only about being in shape. Like, it's... Zach was in shape, but he couldn't hack it. So, straight out of our Facebook group, the Facebook group where we post a thread, Derek Boucher wants to know, is Rihanna even on this show?
Yeah, I don't even know that's Anissa's blood. Like, you could have had a picture of her on the screen and say, what's her name? And I would have known. She hasn't spoken since she fed Mitch cold cuts in bed first episode.
Oh my god, sorry, I took that question just came in as we were podcasting, and before the podcast I wrote down who's on what team, and I asked Brian what team Anissa was on, and he was like, genuinely, I don't know Anissa's bloodline's name, what is it? So when that came in, I just had to ask. So thank you, Derek.
Good job, Derek.
Back to the poor showing, physical showing. Gina Monique Pervis. Why haven't they recruited big muscly people like Bruno, Jason, or Nicole from last Real World yet?
Well, I mean, they tried recruiting Vince and he sucked, so the big muscle doesn't want it. But apparently Bruno declined, so there's that.
Tell me more. Like, did he have a car? Is there more to that story?
No, that's all. I mean, he was offered and he didn't want to do it.
He was too busy dating his like fifth reality TV star.
I guess. I wonder if they're still together. I'm going to probably guess no, but I wonder.
While Brian looks into that. Yeah, I don't know. We've speculated before that Nicole's sisters were getting married or whatever. I can't imagine Nicole wouldn't want to do it because she's tweeted about it.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Steven Lean, is Vince really any better than Mitch? They both suck at challenges. They both keep inserting themselves into other people's drama. Besides Vince's bloodline and 100 pounds of muscle, what's the difference?
I think, I don't know. What's the difference? The last name, I guess.
And the first name.
Well, yeah.
One thing that's funny is like this led to a huge discussion on claiming that Vince has 100 pounds of muscle, but that's not for me to judge. Yeah. I mean, they're both doing pretty shitty. I will respond to this after the next question because I have something I want to ask you that's going to blow your mind. So screw your head on tight. So Brian Gelbach and Tyler Armijo both asked similar questions, but I'm asked Tyler's question. Is Vince the worst competitor of the season? I don't remember him completing any challenge where possible to DQ or be eliminated. He didn't say or be eliminated. I added that so that you would understand.
Right. I mean, it's a fair point. The only thing he did well, and I'm not even sure if he did well for his bananas, was that first challenge where they had to run up and down the mud. Like, as a team, they looked like they did pretty well, but I don't know, like, who did what. I mean, yeah, they've been pretty crappy. I mean, I would still say, like, Dario with the best up there, but at least he did stuff that was good.
I want you to dust off your tinfoil hat because it's been a little while. Put it on. Let me know when you're ready.
Why do we need a tinfoil hat?
Because of what I'm about to say.
Okay.
Is it possible, not probable, but is it possible that Bananas told Vince to be shitty in the challenges so that they didn't look like as big of a threat as if it were Bananas and amazing athlete Vince?
It's not a bad theory. It's not a bad theory. I'll give you credit. It's not. It's possible. Because I think that I also have a theory about something about Vince does later, but we can get to that later. But
we got a couple questions about that theory.
It's not bad. Because, I mean, it would explain it. Because I don't really, it doesn't make sense why Vince is bad at this stuff. Like, this is, like, the, like, physical strength stuff should be things that he thrives at. And it's the ones he's doing the worst at.
I mean, if you want to talk dad bod, like, you look up dad bod in the dictionary, and it's, like, Louis C.K. and then Vince. So, like, he's not this, like, fit, young, specimen. Like, Leroy starts dropping out of all these competitions. I'm going to be like, all right, Leroy, like, why are you faking this? It's not, Vince is a lot of weight, but he shouldn't be this bad. And I could easily see, the only thing that contradicts it, besides it not being true, is I think Vince has too big of an ego to do that.
That's the thing. Yeah, I can see him doing it once and then being like, you know what, screw this. I'm going to look like an idiot on TV. I need to like showcase my skills just in case the Detroit Lions want to call me back and go back to the NFL.
To ride the bench.
Right.
All right. So that's just, all right, you could take off the tinfoil hat for now.
Right, I'm putting it down.
But I thought you'd like that. I like it.
Because it gives credit to Bananas. So I like it.
All right. So the red team's up. Speaking of credit to Bananas, I will say it was pretty amazing that Bananas literally picked up Rihanna's foot and threw it off the net without that looking like it was concocted.
Or the fact that she thought he was helping her. Oh my god. The spell he could put on these people is amazing.
We have a question that will lead to me also asking a question. So Andrew Kirk wants to know, rate Bananas' acting skills in that challenge.
It wasn't great. I mean, the shoulder at the jury, it didn't seem that believable. I don't think he'll be nominated for any awards anytime soon.
If you're through, all right, so you're in the challenge, right? It says Brian on your butt, on your Under Armour apparel, and you're wanting to throw this challenge. Mm-hmm. Is it better to take the Bananas and Anthony approach where make sure someone else falls, potentially wait and see if anyone else falls and then you can just complete it? Like maybe three other people fall and you're done. Mm-hmm. And then be forced for all eyes to be on you when you have to fake it. Or is it better to kind of do what Bananas attempted to do and just like flame out quickly while people are still on there and try to bury it amongst the crowd?
Yeah, I mean, it would be better to try to bury it, especially for someone like Anthony. Like if Bananas is doing it, I feel like it doesn't get that big of a reaction. Like someone who Anthony, who is seemingly under the Bananas spell and is out in the open, is all on his own, it looks a lot worse.
It's just tough because if they drop off right away, there's no guarantee that Rihanna is going to fall too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough spot. I think it would be better for their game to fall sooner, like to just kind of do what, I don't know why they didn't do what Vince did and what Mitch did and just try to like swing and then go down.
Or why couldn't they just try to recruit one more person to help them throw it? Wouldn't that have just been the simplest thing?
So who's the person that you ask? Corey?
Don't you go to Anissa? And be like, tell your sister, tell your cousin, whoever it is, throw it.
And then what, guarantee and have Anissa put herself up for elimination?
Well, because, I mean, if you're Anissa, like, it's a girl's day. So either you're going to be up for elimination or your bloodline is. So wouldn't you also just rather you be up than
Well,
Rihanna?
I think the only pitch would be to try to guarantee that Anissa wouldn't be in.
Right. Bananas would obviously say, like, you're not, like we're not going to say your name. You're not going to be going in 100%. You're not going to go in. But even for Anissa, like, if you're going in, I feel like she would rather be the one to go in than have Rihanna go.
I don't hate this, right? But I don't think Anissa would take that risk, because if you go out, I mean, it's easier for Anissa, let's say, to fake that she fell. I don't think people are going to come after her for that. But, oh no, she's not going to, oh no, but Rihanna did fall.
Right, but you were saying like, oh, but they, at that point now, they would have to be on the thing long enough to help her fall rather than just falling in the beginning. Then they could all fall in the beginning.
Oh, I understand. I thought you meant find a fourth person. Because in that case, like, let's say you convince Rihanna to fall and then Bananas does what he did to Rihanna to Brianna. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And makes her fall. So either way, now I see what you're saying. Sorry. So I don't know that Anissa would take that risk, because if they found out that she was in cahoots, she would go in. I mean, that's kind of what happened with Kellyanne. Yeah,
that's true.
I think if I were to make that pitch for a fourth person to fall, I would see Bananas going to Corey and making some sort of like ego stroking pitch to him of like, look, you're the last man standing from the rookies. I'm the last man standing for the veterans. Let's combine. Like, let's go after Kara and Jamie or whatever they want to say. Mm-hmm. You hate Anissa. Let's get her out. She's out to get you, man. Like that kind of thing. Right. And I could see if you pitch it to Corey in the right way, I could see him. Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, I could see him like having the ego boost needed of Bananas appealing to him to drop out. Like, we saw his reverence for CT. He must have some sort of reverence for Bananas underneath all of this rookie mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, that's true.
Either way, we're better than all of them. Obviously. Because we just strategized. Yeah.
In 2 minutes, we thought of a better plan.
We killed it.
Also, would have just helped if Vince didn't suck. I mean, that could have helped, though.
Right. The plan is just Vince, don't fall.
Right.
And that would be good. Vince. All right. So Nick Sabetta wants to know, why did Anthony feel the need to pretend to actually try in the challenge last night? If he just says Kellyanne is safe if we lose, everybody would understand. If he and Johnny had just waited for somebody to fall and then just jumped off, Kellyanne would still be there.
I'm not entirely sure. And this is also, I don't really understand the rules of this one. Why did he have to hang on that long? Was the rules like whoever does it the longest, including the last person to fall? Or is it like you got four people across, so the time frame that they got across? You know what I mean?
It's a great question. Because basically what you're suggesting is if he were to just have jumped off way earlier, they still would have lost.
Yeah, like did that change their time? I feel like, no, I feel like it was just the four people, like when the fourth person got across, what was your time?
Yeah, we have a question later about MTV's lack of clarity in terms of timing.
That's why time challenges for MTV are always very sketchy.
Yeah, you're right. Because I was just thinking, okay, if Anthony, let's assume that all the contestants understand the rules, which is a big assumption.
I mean, we don't even understand the rules.
No, but I'm saying, like, let's assume that off air, they're being explained the rules.
Right. Fair.
Which is what I'm told happens. Anthony is under the assumption that if he takes longer to fall, that it means total team time spent. The people with the longest time will lose. That makes zero sense. What's more likely, that MTV made a challenge that makes zero sense, or Anthony misunderstood the challenge?
Definitely Anthony misunderstood the challenge.
I think it's pretty 50-50.
I guess so. I feel like Anthony's probably not the sharpest tool in the shed.
All right, so that all of that is unclear. I think we nailed it with what should have been done. But in fairness, I guess they didn't know how many people were going to fall from the blue team. But I don't like being fair, so I take that back. Mm-hmm. My favorite part, I literally wrote down in my notes, I think this is one of my favorite moments ever, when Anthony is dangling and the red team, or I guess Abe and Kara, are trying to convince him not to throw it. And he's in the position where he's definitely going to throw it. And he just doesn't know how at this point.
I love Kara screams out like, oh, Jamie and so-and-so completed it. This isn't fair. It's like, oh, all right. You're right, Kara. It's not fair. Let me finish it.
My cousin did it. That was incredible, because you are taking someone who probably isn't able to handle that kind of abuse or that kind of peer pressure as well as a veteran would be able to. Like, if Bananas was left, I mean, come on. Like, Bananas would relish in the moment to drop in Abe's face.
And here's the thing. Like, I know she didn't go through with it last week, but Kara had the same thought last week. She's like, oh, I probably shouldn't win this one. So, I mean, I guess she didn't follow through with it, but she had the same thought.
No, I hate this integrity bullshit. I hate it on every reality show. Like, this is a game. You're in it to win it. You're here to protect your bloodline. And if you really thought Jamie was in danger, you would have done the same thing.
Right. And I mean, I know it kind of goes against what he does later in the episode, but for all the shit Bananas gets for, like, going against his allies, he can get shit here for, like, going with his allies. Kara gives him shit like, oh, and now Anthony's just doing this because, you know, it helps Bananas, and it helps him. Like, oh, he's just doing this because he's a puppet. Like, no, he's doing it because he helps him, and Bananas, like, he's doing it because it helps him. So.
Well, he's going against his team, which I think is the hard part. And I don't blame him at all. I think I've been waiting for this to happen. I think this is actually extremely interesting. This is the first time the Bloodlines storyline has been very interesting, because we've been waiting for someone to capitalize on the opportunity to hurt your team but help yourself. And right. I think that's what we saw here. And I think everyone who's mad is just bitter that they didn't do it first.
Right. I mean, you're going to be bitter. Like, if you see someone throwing it and it's hurting you, you're not going to be like, oh, great thought, Anthony. Good job. Like, you're going to be pissed and you're going to do whatever you can to try to make it not happen.
And it's also so interesting that Jamie, whose team stands to win, is very angry because he personally stands to lose by Kara, it being a girls' elimination day. Right. So while some of the listeners who wrote comments and questions thought it was just another boring episode because of the format not making sense and people being motivated to throw it, I think this is the benefit of that kind of nonsensical format, is that there's another layer of strategy. It's not just win for your team. It's mm-hmm. lose for your bloodline and sacrifice your team.
Yeah, that's I'm fine. Like, I going in, like, that you wouldn't want this to be the format, but now that we have it, you make the best of it. And I thought this made the best of it.
So Ashley Bedazzlewitz wants to know, I feel like Abram used to be the king of throwing missions to get rid of Katie. Does he really have any room to talk when it's Anthony throwing the challenge?
I don't remember that.
The whole thing I think we've been getting around is, like, if it benefits you, you're fine with it. And if it hurts you, you're right. Pissed at it. And I think that's just, I don't even know that Abe was that legitimately upset about it. I just think the only thing he could do was try to shame him.
Mm-hmm. Shame. Shame. Shame.
I hated that.
You're not a Game of Thrones person?
Absolutely not.
people listening who are, will get it.
Firm no.
It's not fair. None of my jokes. You don't watch the show, and I sound like a complete jackass doing this.
The jokes are not for me and you. The jokes are for the greater good, the listeners.
I know, but it's like a delayed laugh. Like, I get the laugh, but I don't even get to hear it.
Look, we'll take this to podcasting therapy. The listeners don't need to know the trials and tribulations of podcasters.
Right.
We got to make it look effortless.
Of course.
Ooh, easy breezy.
I can't even say it specifically, so.
So, Anthony ultimately falls.
Eventually, yes.
And here is what we can only assume is the moment that leads to Kellyanne and Jamie on a rival season.
Right. Now, Jamie is back. Is Kellyanne back next season?
Didn't someone tell me that they were back as rivals?
Is that the case? I honestly don't remember if she was back or not.
I feel like someone tweeted this at us, and I texted you personally. Oh, no, that was about someone else.
Yeah, that was about someone else.
I don't know. I made that up then. Someone had to have tweeted. How did I make that up? Am I dreaming about these people?
I mean, I know. I remember seeing Jamie's back next season.
God help me. Okay, well, potentially, this is a big regardless, this is a big fight between Jamie and Cara Maria that lasts about 10 seconds.
I mean, toss away, like, the Bananas and, you know, CT montage of their past history. This takes the cake. I mean, they can dedicate a whole tribute episode to this one.
God. That was fucked up, bro. That was so fucked up. You're going to wish that we had an editor to edit that.
I stand by the joke.
People have died. All right, I'm moving swiftly on. Jeez, that was rough. Okay, so one thing that pissed me off is I was on Jamie's side, and I just jumped ahead because we're going to get to a question about that in 5 seconds when I shut up. But Jamie's attacking Kellyanne, and I think rightfully so, until he says, you get on every guy that will show you comfort. My immediate reaction from my couch was, you're jealous. Like, you're jealous.
And who is she hooked up with besides Dario this season?
You're jealous. Like, that's exactly, that made no sense. You're jealous. But they're all lowlifes, according to him, so he's above it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great move for them. That's what doesn't make sense. Like, this is a good move for them. It doesn't work, but it's still a good move.
Andrew Evans wants to know, who do you side with during the episode? Kara, Maria, and Jamie, or Kelly and Anthony? I know who I side with. Hashtag Kara FTW.
Kellyanne and Anthony, 100%.
Why?
Because it should have helped their game. Executed properly. They're safe this weekend. They're fine.
I just I don't know that I care to be on a side. I just enjoyed that it happened. I'm on the team TV. Not Tony Vlachos, but team audience.
Right. That's fair. I mean,
I'm living.
Kara's wrong, but that's okay.
I'm living that neutral life. I don't even think it's Kara. I think, if anything, it's Jamie. And you're sexist for calling her. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
She said team Kara, so I'm going to say Kara's wrong.
He said it was Andrew Evans.
He said.
I'm having a great time. Okay. All right. So, shockingly, TJ reveals that the red team still wins the challenge.
Unbelievable. Blue team is what? This is now what? 0-5 in challenges? Unreal.
What's the move here? Should you throw? So we've talked a lot about the idea of throwing it, and then we've always come back to, like, maybe you've always come back to, I don't know, to not, these challenges aren't conducive to one person being able to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation where, again, it doesn't come down to one person really being able to throw it as much as they tried, and this may be more so than others, but they did try their best. Is this where you don't take a shot here? Because even whatever the odds are, there still are odds that you can't control it. So if you can't 100% control it, you don't throw it.
No, I think this is a good time to take a shot. Because, I mean, especially for the Kelly and Anthony, because there's so many limited eliminations or challenges left. So you don't even know what might happen in the next ones. So this is like a good one to take a shot on. So I had no problem with them doing it.
Well, especially for Bananas and Vince, like, they have a week to let this blow over. Right. Like, they're going to throw it this week and a lot can happen in the amount of time between filming. And maybe I think they're on the chopping block next week, but potentially they have like way less of a risk than Anthony does here.
Mm-hmm. And if you're killing an Anthony at this point, you try to play it out and you try to do this every single week and just keep trying to, one of you just keep trying to throw it. And there's nothing, if you keep executing it, there's nothing the team can do to stop you, because if you lose, the other one's going to be safe.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about this last week with Kara and Jamie. I mean, I think if you're a male-female pair, you try to lose every opposite week.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked that it's like Anthony and Kellyanne are the ones doing the most strategic play here.
Well, I mean,
guided by Bananas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Do you actually believe Red Team won?
All right, let me pull up the question.
There's a conspiracy theory.
All right, I put my tinfoil hat away. I folded that up and made like a Pop-Tart.
This isn't even my conspiracy theory I was leading towards later. But do you actually think Red Team won?
I know that's not the conspiracy theory you're thinking of, because I'm brilliant. No, no. Okay, so Kristen Kinnar, I will answer your question with a listener question. Are you surprised/disappointed that TJ didn't reveal the times for the challenge or the pit? And we'll get to the pit later. I would have loved to see how close they were. Disappointed, yes. Surprised, no. I think MTV never shows it when you want them to show the times. They're never clear about it. I think this, though, had to have been close. No, but then you raised the perfect point, which is they weren't clear on the rules. So what good would the time have helped? Do I think they won? Yes, because if we're gonna go full on living in a submarine, I don't know what that means, tinfoil hat mode, paranoia, like antennas on my head. I don't know anything else besides the tinfoil hat. And people would like to say that MTV would try to protect Bananas. And this was not a move to protect Bananas. So I would have to think that the red team did win.
I mean, I wasn't even thinking about they were trying to protect Bananas. I was just thinking that this would just create the most drama, that they just have the team win. I was trying to throw it and then see what the backlash is. That's all I was thinking.
I mean, it's a fair question, because MTV doesn't make it so that you can think anything but that. So it's up for interpretation. It's like the end of Serial season one.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that's the problem with these time things, that it just leaves it all open to guessing. And that's why they have no place in the challenge at this point anymore. Get rid of them. You could have done this challenge without Tom. Just invest in the money and get a second mud pit and have both teams going at the same time.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Spend a little.
Go to MTV and tell them that.
Yeah.
All right. So we get to the voting. Red team wins, fair on fair. Mm-hmm. And two blues got to go in. Pay the piper. Mm. Are you shocked that Anissa and Kellyanne do not vote for each other here?
This is the whole thing with challenge fights. In the moment, they seem like the biggest thing ever. And then, like, everyone sobers up and they realize they're stupid. Like, think about the Jenna and Brianna fight. Doesn't that seem... That seems like two seasons ago. Like, they're now all bubbly and happy together. Like, 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were ready to rip each other's head off about, like, working at a bakery. Now they're, like, all hunky-dory.
Now, I know you have at least one sibling. So I know that you have relationships with your family. I think it's different. I think I get what you're saying totally, but like I could like knock my brother out verbally or physically and like we just rebound because you're family. And I think that's more of Brianna and Jenna, especially if you're curled up in that house and you're all you really have. With this, I get what you're saying. Like everyone sobers up and it's not a big deal. But I wish we at least saw like a Nani and Camilla when Nani and Camilla went at it last season or whatever. We at least saw them in the morning being like, whoa, that was stupid. Like, at least I wish we had at least gotten like 5 seconds of my bad. You cool. Great. Cause then we're like waiting for them to go duke it out and Jenna to almost be like a deciding vote and both of them vote for Jenna.
Well, I mean, that's totally fair. That's absolutely fair to want that scene. But this is the challenge and we normally don't get that. We just have them come back for Rivals 4 and we get the montage.
Fair. What do you make of Vinny voting Jenna here based on performance?
I mean, I think it's a great move by Vince. You know, I think he wants his performance to speak for himself, and it's really speaking for himself.
I will let my soft chuckles speak for themselves.
My lord, like, is he not self aware about like what he's saying? Like every time he fails miserably at a challenge, he says, "Oh, let's do it by performance."
But like. Doesn't that lend to, like, the fact that he might be doing it on purpose? Like, he's still cocky?
That's what I'm thinking about. Your theory is, like, it's like Inception. It's, like, in my head. It's, like, doing tricks. I can't get it out. And I'm thinking about it all the time. And it's a great point.
Sorry, that was just very extreme.
This is why I kind of wish it was a video podcast, because you could have seen my hand going over my head and, like, doing little twirly motions about, like, something going stuck inside. So that could have been
riveting. Now I have that. Kylie Minogue song, or is it Madonna? Who sings "I Just Can't Get You Out of My Head"? That's I Inceptioned you, just right in there.
Challenge. All right.
I actually didn't think this was a bad position for Vince to take here, because like, yeah, like it doesn't work, and Jenna gets pissed at Vinny and Bananas. But what choice did he have here?
Yeah, I mean, he was stuck between the rock and a hard place anyway, but it's just funny that he chooses by performance.
All right, so we get to deliberation, which it's like so annoying of Bananas to be like, even when we try to lose, we still win. Like, have some, I don't know, I guess it's one of those things where it's like, if you make a joke about it, it seems like you're in on the joke and maybe people won't be as mad at you. But I thought that was like pretty cocky.
TJ was not happy about it either, because he saw that. He saw that, by the way.
Yeah, it's like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, TJ comes in like, I have eyes.
You can tell he's very disappointed. And if that was anyone else, he probably would have went a little harder. But I think he's got respect for Bananas.
I think you would have gotten the exact same thing from anyone. I don't think TJ is fazed by any of these homies.
Homies?
If anything... Bananas, we saw earlier in the season, like, falls in line for TJ. So I don't think TJ is like cutting any corners on giving shit to Bananas.
He calls him TJ a little too much. It's like, you're in a formal situation. Call him TJ.
My head is exploding because I like can't understand you criticizing Bananas in favor of it's just like It's just like two. It's like Superman versus Batman or whatever that movie is that's coming out.
TJ is above bananas, absolutely.
All right, I would delve deeper into this like fan fiction that you're writing, like potentially erotica, but let's move on.
I'm just saying, like, it's a formal situation. Call him TJ.
It's the challenge. This is not business casual. They wear Under Armour and beanies. Like, get it together, Brian. All right. So we get to deliberation, and I think Andrew Kirk tweeted at us, like, Mitch has everything on his shoulders, like, whatever. Like, it's not impressive, and I feel this way about Survivor, too. Like, it's not impressive when you're the swing vote because nobody has ties to you. Like, you're the swing vote for this vote. And yeah, maybe you have room to play afterwards. Like, I'm not going to, like, get into a whole philosophical debate about it. But, like, yeah, like, Mitch is not, like, it's not Mitch's call because Mitch maneuvered to make it his call. It's Mitch's call because Mitch and Corey became social rejects and all of their alliance members got voted off.
Yeah, and even according to him, though, it wasn't even like he was a swing vote. He was 100% voting Jenna. Like, he was like, oh, this is an easy vote for me. I'm going to vote Jenna. Like, oh, okay, I guess it wasn't.
So was this the right move for Mitch, a.k.a. the decider?
I don't think it really impacted them, like, at all. Did it matter if they voted in Kellyanne or Jenna at that point?
I mean, I feel like it's the right move because I'm so sick of Kellyanne, so I'm biased thinking it was the wrong move. But ultimately, because they both go in, I'm, like, confused on who voted for whom. But.
Right. I almost thought for a second it was between Jenna and Issa first. I'm like, no, it was just between Jenna and Kellyanne. So, yeah, it didn't matter.
The only thing is, like, I keep talking about missed opportunities. Like, maybe this is an opportunity for Corey and Mitch, who are pretty much lone soldiers, to relationship build. Like, to go to Jenna and Brianna and say, we'll save you. Let's make something happen here, right? Like, I'm waiting for people to be making connections. But I feel like by Mitch and Corey just going with the quote-unquote group, like, they're not getting anything out of it. They're just going with the majority.
Mm-hmm. Right. I guess that's true. Yeah, that's fair. Doesn't move the needle, though.
Speaking of not moving the needle and getting right back on track with segues, this is another time when Bananas yet again has an opportunity to make waves when his vote does not matter.
And it's just really funny that, like, I think 10 seconds before, they were joking that he's puppet master for Anthony. And then he just goes redhead and says Anthony's bloodline name. It's so funny. And then Anthony was like, oh, he didn't even react.
This didn't bother me at all. But it did bother Q's Kevin, who asked, do you think we've reached a new strategic stage in the Bananas arc after Sarah/Jordan last season? He seems more cutthroat than ever.
I think it's hysterical. Like, he's just cutting everyone. So he's like treating everyone equally.
I think it's totally situational. Like, I think if Bananas maybe had one more pair from the get-go that was with him, or let's say Leroy and Candace didn't get sent home or medevaced, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't worked out the numbers, but let's just say like the numbers were more on his side. I think we would have seen Bananas trying to be more loyal to Camilla, Nani, Leroy. Maybe Anthony gets brought in. But I think here he really has to play week to week and what's best for him. And he has zero relationship with Kellyanne. If anything, he's been at odds with Kellyanne. Kellyanne and him have been like total opposite sides. And so, yes, he has Anthony. But at the end of the day, you would think that the veteran has the control of the bloodline. So Anissa then is a more valuable relationship. But at the same time, Kellyanne's going in anyway. So there's a 50% chance she's going to go home. Why upset Anissa, right? Why upset the apple cart if you don't have to? And Kellyanne's going to be pissed, divided by four or five or whoever voted for her. So I don't necessarily think Johnny's being like cutthroat. I just think he's playing the game, you know, the cards he's been dealt.
And here's the thing. Like, if you really, like, you look at it, each thing individually, like, none of them are as nearly as bad as like Sarah directly voting in Bananas. Like, all of Bananas, like, cutthroat things here have just been piling on. Like, I know it was like, oh, he could have done more to save Camilla, or he could have done more to save Nani. But in terms of the vote, they're all going in, and it was just adding another one.
You can go back and listen to our last few podcasts to talk about this. I'm not going to say that what Sarah did was bad at all.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not saying. I'm just saying, in terms of like the direct shot at him, like, he's not doing that to anyone else.
One thing is, Kellyanne goes off on him and even says, quote, "I know that the numbers wouldn't have helped, but how dare you?" That was amazing. Like, I could see myself saying that. Like, it makes absolutely no difference, but you're the worst person in the world. The betrayal.
Yeah. I mean, that's almost like verbatim what Nani said, though, right? Like, I know I was going in, but how dare you say my name?
For some reason, it didn't feel as ridiculous because, like, Kellyanne and Bananas have been on opposite sides of the group the whole time. Like, Nani, I still feel like he should have done more. Kellyanne, like, I mean, his allegiance wasn't even to her. It was to her bloodline.
Right. Right.
All right. Sure. I got to give a shout out to Tara H on Twitter. Hey, Suburbia, who hashtag Mitch Watch. Pointed out how Mitch is drinking awkwardly out of a straw in the beginning of the club scene.
Of course
he's so delicate.
Like a little butterfly.
And what's amazing, too, is we get a subtitle of him saying, "I love you, Johnny." And that's clearly right. Mitch.
Yeah, I saw that.
Still too. Trying.
Oh, poor Mitch. Trying to be loved.
It's like, what is it, like drunk mouth says what sober mind thinks or whatever, like,
yeah.
Oh man, doing his best. Slow clap, gotta give it up to him.
But this is why, like, as much as people say, like, oh, this is definitely the end for Bananas, because now everyone's seeing, like, he's so cutthroat, no one's ever gonna work with him, he's always gonna have new people on the show and they're always not gonna really know what he does, and they just want to say that they work with the best, so they're gonna side with him. And that's why he can just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back and still do it.
All right, let's debate this because we got a specific question about that. Nick Sabetta wanted to know, honestly, why would people have any reason to work with Bananas in future seasons?
I think it's kind of like the quote from Rounders where people just want to sit at the table with Johnny Chan and lose to him just to say, like, oh, I sat with the best and lost. People just want to say they played with Bananas and lost.
Okay, so I feel a little bit differently. I think there's a reason he rose to power, right? Like, he's confident, he's funny, he's charming. Like, he clearly has people skills because he didn't just, like, show up here and he was the boss. Like, he was once a rookie, too. Shocking, I know. He still has those traits that make people like him, that make people gravitate towards him, that even when you hate him, you kind of like him, that kind of thing. I think he's really feeling the consequences of being the last old school male jock, like Evan, Kenny, Bananas, vet standing. And I do think it's losing its appeal. Like, I think, yes, Anthony is still enamored by it. Okay, Mitch is saying I love you at the club, but he has no ability or control over his bloodline, who was completely against him. So I think Bananas is going to struggle moving forward unless they're able to get some more of those deep cut people back on the show. I think it's unfortunate, but it's a product of Kenny and Evan never coming back. Like, he's lost all of his relationships, and now to build when all of the new people have him to root against. Like, if anything, you can bond over a mutual hatred or a mutual distrust of Bananas. And I just think as the seasons go on, it's going to be harder and harder to maintain that kind of presence. Like, I think the guys who go on, like you're saying, they just want to sit at the table, they just want to go against. I think what we're seeing is the rookie guys want to prove themselves by taking him out, and that's not where you want to be. You almost want to be a West where you can, like, wrangle the rookies together on your side.
I mean, that's totally fair. I just think part of the thing that's underestimated with Bananas is like, I bet he's a very likable person when you're in the house talking to him. Like, I know he's like, oh, he's going to stab you in the back, he's going to cut through, but I guarantee people just, they like him in the house, and that's why they end up working with him. Because he is a nice guy. He's a very likable person.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a reason he rose to this kind of status, and he clearly has, like, the social skills to make Anthony feel like he's more loyal to Bananas than his own bloodline, because that's what was occurring in the house. So,
right. Like, would you be stunned if next week Jenna is back with Bananas back on his side next week? You would be stunned.
I mean, do I feel like I get stunned from the challenge? No, I would be surprised because I just think that I'm thinking of modern day Jenna. I would be stunned. Jay Jenna, where she took Jay back for like 3 years of cheating. Like, I just think Jenna, I don't think that they're going to be back in Bananas' pocket because I don't really think they ever were in Bananas' pocket. I don't think Bananas.
I mean, I seem like they were. Brianna was like, oh, we have their back. Why don't they?
I don't think that they ever actually did anything, though, against what they would have done anyway. And maybe Bananas was able to manipulate that or communicate that to them as an alliance. Maybe Jenna thought they had a relationship through Zach, through her being on the challenge before. I mean, who really knows? I think that this seemed more of a setup to Bananas or Vince going into elimination next week, as opposed to Bananas conquering the house through Jenna next week.
Possible. Yeah. I mean, it definitely seems like the path that they're on.
All right. So Faith and CT roll up into the club.
I was happy to see them there.
Not because of them.
Not happy?
No. I actually really like this moment between him and Johnny, how he kind of like gives credit to Johnny for being there for Diem. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and lay your tinfoil hat theory on what happened in the club. And bear in mind, we have not discussed this before. I can just feel it in the air.
I mean, if you don't think Bananas 100% told Vince to get into a fight with CT at the club, then you don't know Bananas.
See, that's interesting. I don't think Bananas told CT to get, told Vinny to get into a fight with CT.
I'm like probably like 80-90% confident he did.
That is do you have any additional information besides just how you feel about it?
Just because I've seen, like, this is the type of stuff that he does. He makes sure that he wants to be with a good partner. And now he's like, oh my God, I have my bloodline on the show now in a future rival season. Let me make sure he's with a good partner. Put him with CT.
All right.
And even in the confessional, when the producer said, like, oh, what happened with Vince and CT? He's like, oh, nothing happened. And then he had a smirk at the end. He's like, oh, you know what happened. Next season on the Rivals, you know what happened.
The only is CT scheduled to be on this Rivals?
Okay, no, this next season is co-ed Rivals anyway, but there's going to be Rivals for him.
So here's a couple of things. The only way, and I'm going to give Bananas credit here, the only way I see this having been arranged is if CT was in on it. Are you claiming that Bananas told him to do this knowing he knew CT was going to come? Let's just say he didn't know CT was going to come and CT shows up. He whispers to Vince, like, pick a fight with him, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you saying CT felt like this was a legitimate fight or CT was in on it?
The first part isn't pure guessing. But the second part, I don't think he told CT. No, I think he just told Vince, like, get into a little fight with him.
I don't think that Johnny is that much of a lowlife to tell his cousin to pick a fight with someone in that level of emotional distress, coming back, thinking of DM, having that kind of heartache. The way that Johnny has dealt with DM's death and DM Strong t-shirts and all of this, I just have more faith in Johnny that, and maybe I'm wrong. I see what you're saying. I see it's a possibility, but I'm going to choose to believe that Johnny would not have Vince give CT shit while CT is in like a very, very trying emotional state.
Okay.
That would be a new level of low. Like, that's completely fucked up. Do you disagree? Do you think that's like a kosher thing?
I honestly wasn't thinking about that deep level of like horribleness if he did that. So I mean, that's fair. That's not my thought process. I just thought he wanted him to be set up with a partner, and I think that's what
his I just think, given that Bananas was so close to DM, and like, if you follow him on Twitter, I mean like the general listeners follow him on Twitter, you'll know that he was like so involved with DM. He was crying when they came. Like, I just think there has to be more than the game for him in that respect. And to pick on CT in that situation, to make this moment anything but fine and fun for CT, who could use a freaking break, I'm sure. Like, that's a whole nother level of shit. And if that ever comes out, like, I will do a special podcast where I just like berate the crap out of the imaginary person that is Bananas in that sense.
So what was your thought for my tinfoil hat thought?
No. I thought that. So Rach Al Ghul on Twitter and Albert Vargas both got us the same thing. I'm going to read Albert's question. 100% Vince is trying to set up a return to the show as CT's rival, right? Or am I missing some other motive? I didn't think that Bananas was behind it. I thought, all right, let's just say that Bananas told him before going in, like, if you can pick a fight, do it. If you can pick your fights with strong people, do it. Like, if you can, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that Vince, in his drunken mind, did this kind of thing. Like, I was not thinking that Bananas is that vile of a person to be like, go pick on the person whose love of his life just died. Like, go ahead and do that. You know, like, I just think, and one of my best friends, like, I knew that this was the moment you're talking about, that, like, people have always said, like, do people calculate who they hook up with, who they fight with, so that they can come back? I didn't assume that you thought Bananas was behind it.
I did.
That's a shame. So, not for you. Like, if that's true, and it could be, like, that's really pretty vile for Bananas. I just can't imagine that's the case, given how genuinely he seemed to feel about the whole situation. But then the other thing is like, Vince just starts calling out everyone, like that failed Zoolander reference to Jamie.
Okay, yeah, please explain that to me. I don't understand the joke.
It wasn't like, kid was drunk. He's basically just like, look at this guy over there with ears, using his ears. Like, that's what I heard.
Like, why does his head jump to Zoolander then? It's not like Jamie looks like him.
So I more of think that just like, either Vince is just that kind of guy that drinks and picks a fight. Cause like, we saw him do it with Corey. Like, I don't know if he's just like, oh, I'm a man. Like, I'm going to just like approach you and like, what? Like, you know, like, I don't know if that's just Vince's personality or if Vince is like trying to calculate rivals. I think Vince is a little thick, to be honest. But the other point of this is, it's almost a waste if he's trying to get on board with CT because, well, let's hear what you think. Alex Panda Moran wants to know, do you believe CT will ever return to the challenge as a contestant?
I kind of do. I think he would. I do. When it first happened, I didn't think so, but I just think this is just so ingrained in him that I think he would come back.
I'm actually surprised that, correct me if I'm wrong, like, CT never declared that he was done. Jemmy declared that she was done. Mm-hmm. Who, for anyone who right. is just joining us, was Knight, who also passed away, is like longtime love interest. Right. I almost said I think that's foolish. I don't think it's foolish. I think everyone needs to do what's right by them. And even if Jemmy in a year said, you know what, I thought I was done, I want to come back and pay honor to him and pay tribute to him, I would not judge her 1 ounce. I think
definitely not.
You feel differently in every moment with loss. And if CT wants to come back now and just do this much, and next year he wants to do the whole challenge, and then he doesn't want to come back for 5 years, like, whatever. I would not say that he's 100% done, because who knows? Like, he could wake up in the morning and be like, DM would want me to do this, I have to go back, or I'm done completely. So I don't know. I'm interested to hear what. Please, guys, let us know in the comments what you think about what happened with Vinny and CT. Because I'm curious. Like, I totally get what you're saying, and I think that's, like, an interesting perspective, and I want to hear more about this. So we will be in the comments on robhasawebsite.com. So come hang out with us there. Okay, so in a way, so Jamie calls his shot here, because that Zoolander comment is enough to ruffle Jamie's feathers.
Right. And I mean, if this was a show that set things up for the next episode, this is setting up Jamie versus Vince in the next pit. But there's a very good chance that this whole thing just goes away next week.
That was important to me. If this was a show that made any sense at all chronologically, this would be important.
I mean, right?
In a way, though, it's adding so much mystery because you can't rely on it.
Right. I mean, who like you mentioned about Anissa and Kellyanne, like, 1 week they're throwing drinks at each other, calling each other racist. The next week they refuse to vote for each other. It's like, who the hell knows what's going
to
happen?
I think they're just trying to piss us off. All right. So we get the pre-pit talk, which I normally hate, but I did like that Brianna pulls a Rob sister Nino and consults the magic eight ball.
And it worked. It worked again. But I thought you're not supposed to ask these kind of big questions to the magic eight ball. Isn't that like his rule?
Make your own rules.
But he said, like, no, we're not asking you about challenges. We're only asking if we're going to hook up with Heidi.
Yeah, well, maybe he should have done the Brianna approach. Because without a doubt, Jenna's about to win this pit.
Magic 8-Ball succeeds.
Not only did the Magic 8-Ball spoil this, but MTV's previews did a pretty good job of spoiling this pit. We have a question about it. Mm-hmm. Nick Sabetta wants to know, so in the season preview, they show Jenna lying in bed with Zach. In the time leading up to that actually happening, Jenna has been in 3 eliminations and had her partner seriously threaten to quit. Why did they even include that clip? I would have understood if he showed up early in the season, but at this point, it's starting to take all of the suspense out of it whenever Jenna is in trouble.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, we discussed last week about how MTV's actually been pretty good about not spoiling stuff and even being a little misdirection-y with the way they've done stuff. This is the one exception. And there was no need to show Zach in bed with Jenna. Like, he could have just showed the clip of, again, of Zach and CT coming out of, like, or wherever they're appearing coming out of. And that's all they needed.
I totally agree with you about whatever that scene is when they should have shown Zach and CT, mm-hmm. or even just Zach, if they wanted to show CT with Faith.
Right.
I don't know if it's like there weren't that many hookups this season to show and they wanted to show some kind of sexual situation, but I still don't think it was worth it to completely spoil the results of the 3 pits that she was in.
Yeah. I mean, think Jenna's been what? How many girl eliminations have there been? Like, have there been like 4 or at most 5, right? So she's been in almost every girl elimination.
Yeah, no, I think it's bullshit. But so pretending we didn't know that. Go. Although, you know what, with MTV, it's like, as much as I know it, and like at that point in my notes, I wrote, okay, like this is really a spoiler. Now the Zach clip, it's almost like because sometimes they throw you off and sometimes they don't, I almost don't know when to believe it.
Right. I mean, there was a 5% chance in my head that clip was like from like Ponderosa scene or something like that. And for some reason, Zach was just went to visit her.
All right. So what did you make of this pit competition?
It was a little weird because I didn't understand the rules. I just didn't understand the execution of it. Like why Jenna seemed to be spinning a lot more than Kellyanne.
Yeah. Brett on Twitter wrote to us, one swing going down much quicker than the other is not a challenge. This is stupid. I don't know science, but I do think that Jenna, just based on muscle mass and height, weighs more than Kellyanne. And isn't it like if you have more weight, you'd go down faster?
I guess so. I also just don't understand why it had to be done in 2 heats. Why couldn't it just been in one continuous motion?
Because then you'd be fine for the stacking. Then stacking wouldn't be difficult.
No. Like after you do the
you
the
run
standing
back
on 1 foot, you just run back, you spin again, and you go back out. Why do they have to stop?
They must have had to like strap them in or something, like to like pulley them up. Must have been like not a fun process to air on television, like to get them from the bottom to the top.
Right.
I don't disagree with you. This was not the most riveting competition that's happened in a long time.
Or add a third round. Like what the hell? Just add a third thing for them to do and just make it 2 out of 3 and screw the time.
Oh, and okay. And then Jenna wins the second heat and Kellyanne wins the first
round
heat. Look, I've always been behind you on your improvements to the show. I think you often have good ideas and better than the challenge.
It just, I don't like any challenge that is left, that you, when it ends, you don't know. That is not good television.
The one thing, though, and I totally agree with you, the one thing I will just say is Jenna gets set, situated and she's like, I'm just going to close my eyes so I don't feel it spinning. That is the worst strategy. Like, to lose your horizon line is like the absolute worst thing you should possibly do here.
Jenna's been like great with the one-liners. Years, like I love her self-deprecating stuff. Like she's like, I can't even barely walk when I'm not dizzy. So how the hell am I going to do this?
The one thing is, even just watching the spinning for me was torture. Like this was not like physically demanding in terms of like who wants it most, mm-hmm. but to deal with that kind of spinning was like, I mean, I was nauseous sitting at home.
My neck hurt watching.
So one thing that was amazing is Kellyanne dizzy running is incredible.
It's hysterical.
It's not much different than what I imagine Mitch is running regularly, but it was unbelievable.
Oh, poor Mitch is sitting on the sidelines and all of a sudden he gets attacked with another zinger.
Yeah, because Mitch is listening to this podcast.
And Mitch watched.
All right, so what's amazing is that, again, we don't know the time, and it would have been so much more interesting to get the time ticking down. Like, let's just say that when Jenna makes her tower of log slices.
Mm-hmm.
That Kellyanne still had some time because she did win the first round from what we saw.
Right.
I wish we saw the time ticking down, like 10, 9, 8, for how much time Kellyanne had. And then, like, adding insult to injury in my own mind, Kellyanne's stack falls. Like, that would have been so much more compelling if we saw that she had, like, 0 seconds when the stack fell.
Totally agree. It, like, when it fell, it was like, did this matter? Like, it's, I mean, it seemed like, Kellyanne barely won the first round, but I mean, who the hell knows with editing?
Right, and that's...
But I guess that's the way it worked
out. What I'm saying is, like, they want to make it look close. Like, people always say in Survivor, like, certain challenges were never as close as they try to edit it to make it seem like. But even if they lied to me, like, lie to me about the time, it would just be much more compelling. Right.
Like, I don't care when Survivor does it, because when someone wins, like, they win. Like, it's not... They're not editing different times to see, like, all right, one tribe was blowing them out, but they made it seem close, so whatever. I'm more entertained. I'm not going to be upset about that.
Edward Morris wants to know, can we say Jenna earned a You Killed It?
Yeah, of her elimination wins, this was... I mean, I guess, yeah, I would say this was probably the best one.
I mean, I'm done taking credit away from Jenna. Like, the bottom line is she's gone into three eliminations. She's been subject to the rules of the game, which is everyone can vote. You know, the winners and losers vote in two people. She's come out dominant three times. I'm done pretending like this doesn't matter. Like, Jenna is a force to be reckoned with. She needs to, I think, if she comes back another season, well, I shouldn't say this because I can't control for what people think, but I would say that if she comes back another season, she should not, which I think she will, she should not just be considered someone who's easily beatable by anyone.
I mean, I'd be fine with Jenna becoming a regular moving forward. From here, I think she's had a fantastic season. She's been one of like the best people on the show in all facets of the game.
Okay, that's not true, but I just think that
what is she like? She's what is she not
the
been,
regular challenges?
Been, she's been entertaining with it.
No,
though.
No, but you said all facets of the show, so yeah. That's the problem. Is she comes in the clutch, which is great, which is what Brianna said, but she doesn't perform that great in the regular challenges, which is fine. I don't disagree that she shouldn't be brought back. I just would not say that she's one of the best in all facets of the show.
She's, but even when that she's not good, she's still entertaining in it. I feel
right, but that's like not all facets. That's like she's not good in the challenge, but she's still entertaining.
Well, for me, good and entertaining are interchangeable on the challenge.
Interchangeable?
Is that not the right word?
With you. No. But if in all facets, it would be like bananas, like strategist, competitive, like competitor, entertaining. Mm-hmm. She's not the trifecta, but she is good enough to come back. She's better than most.
Okay.
And in my opinion, you can think whatever you want. Like, I'm just saying in terms of how I judge it, like, she's not the perfect challenge competitor, right? Like, I think even Kara, like, great in challenges, causes drama, you know, has good confessionals, like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jenna has a little bit of a ways to go. I think she has nothing to do but work out. So I think she stands to only get better. It's like Kara originally. So I'm happy to see her back. I hope that she's not considered like when Larissa first got voted in and Larissa is like, I'm going to call out Jenna. Like, I think that there should be. Ooh. Right. I think that there should be a new person deemed as like the easy hit as opposed to Jenna. I think she's proven herself to be more than just the easy takeout.
I mean, what's amazing is even after all this, like, there's a very good chance she's going to go in the next time just by default. Like, the next time there's girls' elimination, if Blue loses, it's her versus Anissa, and there's nothing anyone can do about it.
Right, but regardless, I mean, the fact that Jenna keeps going in is a product of her lack of social game. Like, it's not just like, as it would happen, it's so unfair, Jenna keeps going in. Like, she doesn't have the social game or the relationships to sustain her.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. All right, so we got a couple more questions about Jenna. So, Umberto wants to know, can Jenna win this?
No, not if it goes to the final and you split up in pairs.
And is that because of Jenna or because of Brianna?
I mean, I don't like it. I just think I guess probably both. But if Jenna was a partner with someone, I don't think she's like that big of a detriment. Like, she's not gonna be someone that's gonna hold anyone back. She's not gonna be someone that carries the team, but she's someone that could, within the right situation, win a final.
I would probably rather have Jenna on my team than Anissa.
I agree. For a final, absolutely.
Yeah, for final. And I'm thinking, like, okay. I mean, I think we were kind of at this level with her at the end of last season, where, like, Jay ultimately quits. And there was up for debate whether or not Jenna would have finished, but I think Jenna was trying way more than Jay, which is not saying much.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, well, I kind of hope Jenna makes a final, because I want to see her try to redeem herself.
If anything, I think she'll look good because I think Brianna will quit. Wait, I don't think there's any chance, and I'll put this out there, and if I'm wrong, I would love to watch the TV of this happening. So that's a win-win. If Brianna and Jenna make it to a final, they do not finish.
That's your because, like, Brianna quits?
I don't even think I need to put more. I just think they do not finish.
Okay. I mean, Brianna was actually getting like pretty decent in some of these. I mean, she did this one.
This was not a difficult challenge. This was, it couldn't have been because Faith has to do, you know what I mean? Like, it's not saying Faith's not athletic, but this was not one of those challenges where it's like grueling and high up and really, I mean, you can go across a cargo net at any speed. Like that.
I mean, I'm getting my, I'm starting to talk myself into the Brianna corner and I'm getting myself out of there. So.
I think you have a better place to be though. I mean, it's not a terrible place to be. Or worse places.
It's getting better. Yeah. It's warming up week after week.
Okay, so Eric J. Williams wants to know why I shouldn't have led with that, because he leads with that. So Eric J. Williams says, I want to know when Jenna became the new comp beast. I wish Evelyn was on the show to take her on. Can any girl beat her? If Kellyanne couldn't and Laurel isn't on the show, who's her competition? Kara?
Yes.
So Jenna's met. Okay, I'm just moving on.
I mean, I think Anissa, depending upon the challenge, could beat her, for sure.
I think even Kellyanne, depending on the challenge, could have beaten her.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that's not to say, look, you show up and the pit's the pit, and she won fair and square.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she did great. Good for her.
All right, so this episode kind of leads out.
Ends on.
Thank you. With Jenna, Jamie planning to talk to Bananas the next day, which is a fool's errand, and Banana saying, quote, our asses are completely exposed.
I mean, like I said, it's completely setting up for a Jamie Vince elimination.
So on that note, Edward Morris wants to know, who would be each side's best bet to take out Vince or John next pit?
I'm going to pivot off that question with another question, because I was actually having this debate with a couple
That's
of
my move.
But we were debating if it would be better for Bananas to throw the challenge himself to make sure that if they go into elimination, he's going in. Or should he try to just go ahead and win and have Vince go up against maybe some weaker opponents?
Don't lie. Brian doesn't have friends. He texted me this. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we talked about this like in the preview, I think, like for Leroy in that situation. If you think you have a weak partner, is it better to just put it in your hands?
But we didn't think this would be the case, I don't think, with Bananas and Vince.
No, I didn't mean like it's irrelevant to talk about. I just mean like we did speculate about this. And yes, I think we're both surprised that it's coming to this. Let's think of who they'd want to put up. Like Vince and Jamie, Vince, I would say that Jamie's going to win that. Mitch and Vince, though. Bye, Mitch.
Or Mike. Like those are the four.
I think Mike and Jamie both have a great shot against Vince. It's not a lot.
I think
they have a great shot. Yeah. And if we know anything about Bananas, it's that he's already thinking about this. But I think that Vince has a better shot against Mitch, Jamie, and Mike than Bananas has against Corey, Abe, and Anthony. Like, I think in this situation, if they lost, Abe would volunteer.
Well, Anthony's gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Abe would volunteer to go in.
That's the thought. I agree. It's a thought.
What did your friends and you come down on?
I was on the side that if I was Bananas, I would just want to trust myself. Because if you're Bananas, you can't fear anyone. And if you don't get eliminated, you don't want to get eliminated by your partner. I think because he dealt with that with last season with Nani. Like both times they got eliminated, Nani, the first one, she couldn't move past whatever that rope one was before Bananas even tried. And I think in the second one, she lost both rounds to Naya or Teresa, whoever it was. I think it was Teresa at the time. So, like, both last season, he got eliminated because of his partner. And I don't think he wants to deal with that this time. Unless the theory of Vince purposely sucking is true and that he doesn't have anything to worry about.
I agree. Even if Vince is more athletic than he's put on, he doesn't have the experience of an elimination. And I think that is not to be underrated. You know, like, I think there is something to be said about coming in and faith. Like, can you imagine, like, no, I guess they're all rookies on the blue team, all the guys. But just even so, like to come in nervous, I guess that's more of an even playing field.
Well, Michael's had an elimination under his belt, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah, but that was a very interesting elimination. Like that was an atypical elimination. Yes, he has the pressure of the pit, fair, but that's not the next male elimination is not going to be an independent thing. It's going to be physical, 100%. Although, let's start speculating. So we see CT and Zach coming in, and it appears to be in the pit. What do you make of this?
I mean, my first thought is that they each, I don't know how this would be fair, but like one of them goes up against CT, one of them goes up against Zach. I don't know how that's exactly fair, but I don't know how else it would, like, how else both of them would be competing in it, unless it's like a 2-on-1 thing.
So we got a question about this, and I'm pissed at myself because I forgot to look up. And you, PJ, you told me how to say your last name, and I forgot to look it up. It usually takes me one or two times. I'm sorry. So PJ Goffin? Okay. Also, do you think, based on the minor beef in the club, we're heading towards a Jamie Vince Pitt? Or do you think we're getting a similar concept where CT and Zach face both teams, like in CT and Tina and Cutthroat?
I mean, it could be both, right? Why can't it be a Jamie versus Vince Pitt and they're going up against CT and Zach? Why is that any either or?
Say that one more time. I'm sorry.
Well, wasn't this question like, is it a Vince and Jamie Pitt or going up against, like, having a bananas backpack?
Yes, you're right. It's two parts, though. Well, no, okay. What you're saying is right. But in general, do you think Jamie and Vince will battle it out? Or do you think they would, if they were in the pit? So it's two questions. Do you think they'll both be in the pit? And if they are, do you think they will go against Zach and CT independently or go against each other directly?
I would guess independently. Unless maybe they play like a 2-on-2 basketball game or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's clearly, it has to be the pit, right? Because why are these these guys coming in to wreak havoc on a male elimination week if it's for the just general team challenge? I'm not sure.
I mean, could you imagine if Bananas is in this one? The symmetry of that, if he's in again, this has only happened, I think, for the second time ever that they're bringing in someone to do this, and it's CT again, and can you imagine Bananas being, I mean, doesn't get much better. Or if Vince gets back, if Vince got backpacked, like that would be just the unbelievable moment.
So in general, the thinking is, I just think that Bananas would not be that confident against Corey or Abe. But I'm trying to think, sorry, I'm jumping around back to what you and your friends were talking about, your quote-unquote friends.
I mean, we legit talked about this for about an hour, so.
I think.
Because it was close. Like, here's the thing. Like, if I'm Bananas, I trust myself much more, but I'm going up against Corey or Abe as opposed to, you know, lowly Mitch. But, I mean, if you can do it up against Mitch, I think that's 100% the move. You put Vince against Mitch, and if Vince loses to Mitch, then you know what? You weren't going to win a final. So,
but I'm not even sure whose votes yet. Well, okay, he definitely has Rihanna and Anissa's votes because he protected Anissa and Corey voted against Anissa. And then you have Kara, he does not have, probably. But they're not going to vote for Mike or Jamie.
Right.
So they have to vote for Mitch. Unless Abe is, yes.
Right, unless Abe has sent Mike.
Yeah. And MTV is setting up that Brianna and Jenna are against Bananas and Vince. So.
I mean, or Jamie, like, unless Jamie steps up and, you know, they were kind of hinting that a little bit, like, I need to figure out how to take my shot at him. So unless he wants to step up and take a shot, I think Cara would try to talk him out of that because she's smart.
I would love it. I would love it.
I think she would try to be like, dude, don't be a fucking idiot. Like, I want to make the final. Let someone else do the bidding. But I mean, that could be interesting.
Okay. This is an amazing question and it's just for you. It's not directed directly towards you, but I'm directing it to you. So Gina Monique Purvey wants to know, do you guys know if John legitly has any other income besides Bananas t-shirts and the challenge? Are there retirement plans for the challengers? LOL. Scary thought. Don't interrupt the listener. Scary thought. What if he retires, then becomes the host? My head explode like Vince's popcorn muscles. Sorry for being mean.
Can I answer now?
Please go ahead.
I would love to see the 401k plan the challenge offers. I think it would be probably very risk heavy. I think they're very aggressive there. But I mean, it's this and appearance fees. I think this is his channel. This is his thing. This is his life. His
now, career. Do we know if he gets money from the GoPro thing that his girlfriend gets?
I don't know. One of my great questions I need to answer in life. This is incredibly sad that I just said that phrase, but I need to know how much Bananas makes by just going on the challenge. I need to know.
Next time you see Bananas, I don't think you have the courage to ask him.
I don't know.
Prediction. Ask him.
When I, like, in my pre-Ally days when I interviewed him once, I like almost started to hint at it, but then I'm like, I don't even know how to phrase this question, so I'm not doing it. But like, now that we have a little bit of a rapport, like, I may try to ask him.
Here's a question. Other than the challenge, What are you up to?
I don't care about that. I just legitimately want to know. Like,
but that's the answer. Everyone knows. He knows what that means. If I asked you, like, other than watching the challenge, what are you up to? The first thing you would say is your career or your job. It's almost like demeaning. It's like, so other than the only thing you're focused on, what else do you do? I think this is an amazing question. I appreciate it. And when you get the answer, hopefully this week, let me know.
Well, I'm going to try to get it next week. I am.
Brian pretends to be friends with the challenge people, so he follows them around at bars.
I mean, me and TJ, I don't know if you saw, but TJ tweeted me back again today, so we're like basically best friends.
Cool. So Alex Kidwell wants to know, is Kara's path to her first win paved with gold now? Her cardio has to be miles above the other remaining girls. We've seen both Jenna and Anissa in finales, and it's not a pretty scene for the most part. Kellyanne struck me as her last real shred of light competition.
I think the one thing that can hold her back is what kind of just what I hinted as if Jamie wants to play hero and go after bananas himself. But I agree. I think they're in, of all the teams, I think they're in the best shape to make a final.
I think Jamie even still has a great shot against Vince. Like, I still would give it like 70-30.
I agree.
Unless it was like pure weight.
But
unless it was like who can take the other person sitting on them more. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, unless it's like pure body mass, I think Jamie has it.
Oh, I agree. But just like Kara said, the best way to make the final is just don't go into elimination. So
Maybe she can play her boyfriend off of her own interests and make them volunteer and screw them out. Mm-hmm. I would respect that immensely. Okay. This is the last question I have. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Allison Smith and David CD Squad on Twitter also asked a similar question, but we're going with Allison's question. What do you think of Real World 31? Good, go big or go home? I think it'll be an entertaining twist, and I hope you guys will podcast about it.
I'm in on it. I mean, it's basically road rules, so that's fun. Basically, a long combine for the challenge. That'll be fun. So, yeah, I think it'll be
none of this is fun. I don't think anything that you just said is fun. I think this is fundamentally not the Real World. So I think they should have called it a different show or rebooted Road Rules. Like, this is not fundamentally the Real World. I think the Real World has gone way off the rails. I never watched Road Rules when it was on, and that's for a reason. And I just can't wait for the Real World to be laid to rest because it's a disgrace to what it was in the earlier seasons.
I mean, Real World died when they did the explosion thing, then it stopped being Real World.
Died way before that.
Well, yeah, but that was like, you know, officially over. But yeah,
but more on that later. I'm sure we'll have more on that later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as far as the challenge bloodlines goes. That's all I have.
I hate to even bring this up, but do you want a fantasy update for this week?
Yeah, everyone knows you suck at this, so you can go ahead and toot your own horn, and the listeners and I have a special...
I'm not tooting. This is...
We have a special understanding of what's reality and what's Brian Land.
Okay. Red Team won again. Everyone got 10 points. Jenna and Brianna won the elimination. Kellyanne and Jamie fought, so I gave them each 5. And then I gave Kellyanne another 5 for fighting with bananas. Is that okay?
I don't care about this. I couldn't care less. I mean, okay, good. The bottom line is you couldn't be more inconsistent, and everyone knows.
Right. And then Kellyanne cried, and that was the only crying points again because I didn't know how else to deal with it.
So the reality of this situation is I just wish, all that bothers me is I just wish that you cared enough to go back and listen to you say the exact opposite thing like the week before. Like, because the old Brian, who put more stake into the podcast, would have said, oh, I'll go back and check. And this Brian was like, no, I don't give a shit. Here are the points.
No, I stand by.
You cannot stand by my complaint without listening to what you said, because you said you didn't know what you said. So go back and listen to it, and then we could talk about it. Otherwise, you can keep flitting around your inconsistencies. But the old Brian that I knew would have said, all right, I'll go back and check. We'll see. And you were just like, no, I don't give a shit. I stand by nothing.
You don't
even know what you're standing by because you don't recall you saying the exact opposite thing.
I stand by everything what? Except for the crying. Because I legitimately don't even remember what we decided for the crying.
That's what
rule.
I'm saying. No, no,
so
no.
So that's fine. So I'm wrong with that. Everything else, I stand by.
Go back. That's it. You can't. Here's the problem is you can't stand by saying two opposite things when you don't recall saying the first thing. So 2 weeks ago, you said, you can't just say, I feel like they fought, whatever. Mm-hmm. The next week, you said, I feel like they fought.
Right.
How do you stand by saying the exact opposite thing? Because without going back and listening to yourself saying the opposite thing. No, you quote said, I just feel like they fought. I can't point to a fight. I just feel like they fought.
I added more to that. You can't snip it a little bit.
No, you didn't. You said, I feel like they fought. And then I cut you off because I was done with it as I am now.
Okay.
Go back and listen. Take the time and go back and listen to the last 10 minutes. Let's not talk about it.
I agree with you. You're up 11:50.
How do you agree with me?
7:75.
What do you mean you agree with me? I'm not talking about the crying. I'm talking about the fighting.
No, I agree that I said both those things, but I'm saying I added more to it than just
okay,
that
go
phrase.
Ahead and add more to it. I'll let the listeners decide.
They fought more than Corey did in that situation.
When?
With Corey and Anissa. They fought.
I understand
the
Corey and Anissa.
Those,
I'm asking you to point directly to the fight that Abram had.
How about the bus when he stands on the bus and starts calling them out and Thomas is like, what did I do? I didn't do anything.
You didn't give Thomas points.
Yes,
you gave Abram and Kara points. You said I gave
Thomas.
Abram and Kara points.
I gave the trio.
Oh, that's pathetic. But not bananas.
What did he do?
It's either everyone's involved or no one's involved. You can't give three people and bananas is screaming from the back of the bus. See, this is just what bothers me. It's like, it's consistency or inconsistency, and your rules are so inconsistent, I can't even take it. But
right.
I will take solace in the listeners who tweeted at me to tell me they agree. Okay. It was mind-bending that you said the exact opposite thing weeks in a row. Mind-bending. And I'm surprised that your friends in the challenge didn't accuse you of the same thing.
Nah, they were on board. Or maybe they just didn't care. I don't know.
All right, but you go ahead and you stand by your inconsistencies. I'm going to go immediately.
You can subscribe to this podcast at robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes, or you can follow me on Twitter at @BusDriversRap, and they can follow you.
You don't have to follow me. I already left. All right, bye.
This is not a good place for me. We'll be back next week, episode 9.
I'm not in the right place. Misquote, inconsistent. Goodbye.
Have a good one.